Who remembers Joe Willie Namath? You remember Joe Willie Namath, quarterback of the New York Jets, who led them to an upset victory over my beloved Baltimore Colts in Super Bowl III. Not so much the guy selling hearing aids now. That was then, this is now. That same year, he published an autobiography, a book, entitled, I Can't Wait Until Tomorrow Because I Get Better Looking Every Day. He was never exactly known for his humility, right? In 1980, Mac Davis echoed those words in a song, Oh Lord, It's Hard to Be Humble. I'm not going to sing it. You might remember, Oh Lord, It's Hard to Be Humble When You're Perfect in Every Way. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a heck of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. Here now, our text from Luke's Gospel, the 18th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. Jesus also told this parable to some who were trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Really, thank you, God. Wow. Does that passage ever convict? And if we're not feeling a little uneasy, if we're not finding ourselves at least just a little bit guilty when we're listening to this parable, then we're deluding ourselves. We pray this prayer all too often with too much justification. Sometimes it sounds like, Lord, there but for the grace of God go I. Without any kind of explanation, but always with an expression of relief. It really does start out as a benign statement, doesn't it? A brief observation, that's all. A glance that sizes up the other, and an aspect of an individual that's sort of singled out to us as particularly unfortunate or distasteful. A manifestation of our human brokenness toward comparison and condemnation. But then something changes. Something changes, and it's no longer just a passing appraisal, but it becomes something that leads to judgment. Judgment without understanding, judgment without empathy, judgment without any attempt to see as Jesus sees, without any action that tries to come near to the one that Jesus regards. This parable calls out this sin of ours, as all parables do. This one is the sin of dismissal, the sin of one-upsmanship, the sin of assessment before compassion. It calls attention to that time and that space in an all-too-quick evaluation and final judgment on our part of whether or not we deem this other one as somebody who meets the expectations that we have set out. But faith doesn't work that way. As soon as we begin to question whether somebody else deserves a place in the kingdom, then we would do well to remember this passage. As soon as somebody points out the inadequacy of others, we would do well to remember this text. As soon as the justification of somebody else is easily determined, it's time for us to go back to Luke's gospel and read it again, or at least to hear it a little differently. I'm fond of Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, translation, and especially his retelling of this parable in the Message Bible. The Pharisee posed and prayed like this: "Oh God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, crooks, adulterers, or heaven forbid, like this man." The Pharisee, looking for attention. It's hard to be humble. And he's taken note of who's in the temple, of who's around, who might be watching, who might be listening. And he wants to make sure that he's heard and seen. Peterson's use of that word, pose, really emphasizes the showiness of this moment. The more standard translation that we heard first from the New Revised Standard is that the Pharisee stands by himself. He does this for a lot of reasons, but most especially so that he does not come into physical contact with anybody who is less righteous than he is. What he prays then about his sense of righteousness is seen in his body language and how he lives and guards himself. It's not so much that what he's doing is wrong. Going to the temple to pray is an important part of the life of faith, but the method and the motivation reveal the problem, and that's why Jesus is telling this story. Even as he comes to pray to his loving God, he has compared himself to all of the people that he has walked by, and rather than finding himself wanting, it's everybody else who fails to measure up. The Pharisee assumes that God sees these people and himself the same way that he does. Able to point out everybody else's flaws, able to go down the checklist of spirituality and put marks beside all of the good things for himself, well, what's left for him to work on? What's left for God to do but to praise this Pharisee and thank him for being so terrific? But that is the thing, isn't it? That's the catch here. God actually does see this man the same way that he sees the rogues, the thieves, the adulterers, and the tax collectors. God sees each one as his child, his creature, the object of his love and his redemption. It doesn't take an extra drop of Christ's blood to redeem the tax collector than it does to redeem the Pharisee. It's a worthwhile point to remember as we pray today for other people's minds and hearts to be changed. It is appropriate to pray for them and for God's Spirit to move, but we must also keep guard for any hint of superiority or self-righteousness. The tax collector. Tax collector stands over in a corner, in the shadows, because he doesn't feel worthy. Peterson translates the description of him as slumped in the shadow, his face in his hands, not daring to look up, praying to God for mercy because he knows himself to be a sinner. He might be feeling like he doesn't measure up to guys like that Pharisee. But that hasn't stopped him from showing up and praying about what's true for him right here and right now. The tax collector reminds us that it's better to be imperfectly on the way than ever to think that we have already arrived. Our society excels in deciding on another's fate. And that decision is usually based on what is demonstrated by our Pharisee friend in this passage. Our security in our own future all too often turns into certainty about the fate of another person. Our sense of justification gets caught up in our own self-righteousness rather than in trusting in God's love. Friends, if there is no mercy for the tax collector, there's no mercy for me. If there's no mercy for the Pharisee, there's no mercy for me. If there is no mercy for the one I deem least worthy, there is certainly none for me. This story from Luke reveals how we too expediently worry about another person's justification. And that language of justification too quickly turns into language about salvation and the determination of another's future after death. So where's the good news? Where's the good news in all of this? Well, maybe the good news rests in us. That is, the good news will be heard. It will be experienced when we look beyond the obvious, the assumed, the expected, in order to see others with deep regard. If we've learned anything from reading through Luke's gospel as our text this year, this should jump off the page. If we've embraced anything about Jesus from Luke's point of view, then it should be this: seeing one another with deep regard. sight beyond the external is what the gospel perspective calls us to. Eugene Peterson ends the parable this way. Jesus commented, "This tax man, not the other, went home made right with God. If you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to simply be yourself, you will become more than yourself." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.